At the very end of last week's parsha, when Hashem decrees the mabul that will happen 120 years down the line, to give Noah 120 years to build the teva, and through that means make people aware so they could take notice of him building the teva and repent. So the pasuk says, Lo yadun ruchi bottom l'olam b'shagam u'bos. I'm not going to contend with man forever, for he is flesh. We have a meves from Shana. It was roughly Lashon Pasuk he will have now. He has 120 years left until the mabul comes. So the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Tes points out that this is an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That b'shagam, for he is, right? For he is, as in for he is flesh. Right, is Bishagam is Gematria Moshe, and Moshe indeed lived 120 years, like the pasuk ends off, man has 120 years. So, what's the connection, the mabul and Moshe Rabbeinu? What is one, could one possibly have to do with the other? So as we go into this week's parsha, so Rashi brings the Chazal, that, you know, match up, you know, Noach versus Avram. Noach versus Avram, that Avram, you know, definitely had an advantage over Noach that is a little bit, you know, cryptic to understand, right? That, you know, Es Elokim Hislach Noach. Noach walked with God, right? And that was, he was supported, and Avram went Lifnei Elokim. He ran in front, not with, you know, he was Mischazek Me'elav. He drew strength from within himself. And whereas Noach needed Sad Latamcho, right? Needed support. Now, I don't know, you know, why don't we read the Pasuk differently? Why don't we look at it like this? Noach is with Hashem, you know, which is great. You know, Avram's not with Hashem. He's running ahead. So why do we, you know, we take this as a clear advantage that Avram had over Noach, and that advantage needs to be defined. You know, why that, you know, it's so important. Yeah, but why are we doing this in the first place? Why do we have to match up Noach against Avram? What do we have to compare? Why don't we compare Noach to Yoshua? Right, what is on Chazal's mind? Chazal, Rashi's quoting that, you know, to understand the difference between Abraham and Noach Davka, why not go ahead, match him up against Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu was definitely greater. Yeah, so, why are we getting into this? Why are we discussing, you know, Abraham versus Noach, and what is the critical difference between them? Okay. So, speaking of which, there's the famous Mishnah of Avos also, you know, in the fifth parak. So it says that there were 10 generations from Adam until Noach, until Hashem brought upon them the flood. Right? They angered Hashem. And it's interesting, we have to understand why 10. So hold that question. Why 10 generations, not more, not less? Hashem had patience for exactly 10 generations. And then there's the other 10 generations, from Noach until Avraham. There comes Avram umekabel schar kulam. By Noach, it doesn't say he got schar kulam. He got the reward, whatever that means. We'll define that. The reward of all the generations that preceded him. Avram gets all the reward of the generations that preceded him. Yeah. What's the difference? You know, why the difference? Right. So to, you know, unpack all these issues, because there's a lot to unpack over here. All right. Going back to the very beginning, literally, the beginning, Bereishis, right, the beginning of last week's parsha, which is the beginning of time itself. So Rashi says something, you know, Bereishis, you know, in the name of Chazal, he says you have to say it, because he can't read it in the beginning, because it should be read Bereishona. He feels that the only good pshat to say the word Bereishit, the first, not in the beginning. But the first is because Bishul Yisrael Shikru Reishis Shul HaTorah Shnikris Reishis, for the sake of the Jewish people that are called the first, and for the sake of Torah that's called the first. The world was for the sake of the Jewish people. The world is for the sake of the Torah. Okay. So now, something very interesting, right? Let's start with for the sake of the Jewish people. Right? If you find the term Ben Noach anywhere in the Gemara or in the Poskim. What are we talking about? A goy. For sure. It's generally the good goy, the law-abiding goy, as opposed to the bad goy. It's called Akum. So we're talking about a goy. Now, I ask you, well, you know, what, did we hatch? We're also descendants of Noah. All mankind are descendants of Noah. Why are the goyim, the non-Yisrael, they're called Ben Noach? You know, now, he who's called Yisrael, right, Bishvil Yisrael, where does his Yichus start from? Avram Avinu. Right? It starts from Avram. And Karn L'Avasel Shoshudim, we only have three forefathers, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So his beginning is from Avraham. He's the first of the three Avos. And it's as if we don't have a history before that. Our history, Yisrael's history, starts with Avraham Avinu. As if, you know, we're not connected to the generations that came before us, even though biologically we are. Right? But for spiritually, we're not. Our spiritual history, which is our national history, right? Our ideological history, starts with Avraham Avinu. And why is that? So the Goyim get the title B'nai Noach. And if you see the term B'nai Noach, you know you're not talking about Yisrael. Right, and the Jewish people, right, that who are called Yisrael, they start from Avram. Right, so there's something going on over here. Right? So let's begin unpacking from the second part of the statement. Bishvil haTorah shenikras reishis, the world is for the sake of the Torah. Okay, so now, interestingly enough. All right, in Torah, the number 10 is very, very significant. All right, the first and foremost is the Aseres HaDibros. And the getting of the Aseres HaDibros is called Matan Torah. It's called that we got the Torah. As all the Rishonim agree, it's in Chazal, and all the Rishonim have their different ways of working out. Those Aseres HaDibros, those 10 utterances, right, encapsulate all the Taryag Mitzvahs. And all the Rishonim have their ways of working it out. But it's something that's muskam. It's in Chazal, it's in the Rishonim, you'll find Rav Sadigon, you'll find the Kuzri. It's not something you'll just find in Sod. You'll find it in the Rishonim that talk pshat, that the Aseres HaDibros have encoded within them, right, all the Tariq Mitzvahs. And that's why it's legit to say that when Chag Matan Torah Seinu, where we only got the Aseres HaDibros, it's called that we got the Torah. Because these 10 encapsulate the whole Torah. And these 10 are parallel to the Aseres Ma'amar Shenivra HaOlam, right? The 10 utterances that the world's created. Everything, just like all that exists, is encapsulated in those 10 utterances that created the world. So also, the whole Torah, that is encapsulated in those Aseres HaDibros. And the truth is, you want to go into depth, that the cause and effect is the other way around. It's because all of Torah could be encapsulated in the Aseres HaDibros. That's why a whole wide world could be created with just 10 utterances. Because Istako Boiraiso Bora Alma. The Torah is the blueprint reality. Torah came first. So it's because all of Torah could be encoded within those 10. That's why also everything that exists could also be encoded in 10 utterances, perfectly parallel to Aseres HaDibros. That's the real, you know, chicken and egg of it, you know, which came first. So, the world was created for Torah. By no coincidence, Hashem gave 10 generations. Really, he could have just given it one generation, because if the world is not willing to accept Torah, the world has no right to exist, because Bishvil HaTorah. But Ribono Shel Olam was patient in a manner that's parallel to the reality of Torah, gave it 10 generations, parallel to the Aseres HaDibros, parallel to the Aseres Ma'amar Shenivra HaOlam. As it were, he waited a world worth of time, 10. A world worth of time, 10 generations. That's very patient, because Min HaDin, he could have just destroyed the world in the first generation, because you exist for Torah. So here's the depth of it. Right? He gave mankind 10 generations to get into shape, to be worthy of the Torah. Right? Parallel to how Torah could be boiled down to number 10. Right? And at the time when that was the cutoff point, he said the world is not worthy of Torah. And so the gzeir of the Mabul is, world is not worthy of Torah. And that's why there's an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to destroy this world, but for the sake of there being a better world, which will receive the Torah. And it goes deeper than that. You know, the Zohar and the Svarim, as Kadoshim explain, you know, Torah is compared to water. The Mabul flooding the world and destroying them, right, is as it were, Torah turned against the world, as it were. You know, beside what we say in the individual, lo zocha nas lo samamavis. If you're not worthy, you know, Torah could be detrimental to you because of how you misuse it. And, you have to be worthy of the Torah for Torah to be zocha nas lo samachayim. Right? So as it were, the waters that broke loose they were a certain manifestation of Torah itself that the generations, the world was incongruent with Torah, it destroyed the world. And that's why also in those psukim of how the waters birth forth, the Zohar in Parshas Vayera says that as those psukim also allude at the end of time, there's going to be an outpouring of knowledge, tremendous knowledge. You know, and that's the, you know, heavenly knowledge is the Arubos HaShemayim, the water comes down from heaven, and the technological knowledge and the science is the Niftachu Tomos Rabbah, how the also water broke out from under the ground, right? And by no coincidence, Lassid Lavo, also, Vayomu Yetzu Mayim Chayim Yerushalayim, water's going to break out from under the temple mouth, and the Navi also says a metaphor, Umola Ha'oretz Deas Hashem Kamayim Layam Mechasim. Right, the whole world, knowledge will fill the world like how the waters cover the oceans. Amazing, right? So, you know, these waters were a representation of Torah, right? And how they were unworthy to accept the Torah and harness the Torah. And that's why their destruction was warranted. That's what the symbolism, they destroyed the world with water. And the symbolism that in the future, when there's going to be tremendous Torah knowledge for the world, it's called, it'll flood the world, as it were. Right? This was the lesson that was being taught them. You're being flooded because you're unworthy of the life-giving waters of Torah. Right? And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is alluded to in the exile of the Mabul. You are being destroyed because you were not able, failed to become worthy of the Torah for which the world was created. Right? But, you know, Hashem cannot be outdone. He doesn't fail. Right? He's going to whittle the world down to something that will endure, that will be worthy of Torah, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, which ultimately will be brought to earth by Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? And which, this enhances the question, really, this part up to this point would actually deepen the question. So why wasn't Noach the first Jew? Right? He is the aspect of the world that survived. Right? And it's, yeah, and the world, you know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with him. You know, now we're going to discuss the bris in a second, how it's rather misinterpreted, the rainbow. Right? Oh, God. You know, the rainbow is now being used for the opposite of what it's represented. Moshe Rabbeinu is, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to bring the law, you know, but he didn't bring the law to the B'nai Noach. He brought the law to the B'nai Avram, right? But Noach was worthy, right, of having, being spared. So he's worthy of being spared. Why isn't Noach the first Jew? Right? And that's what Rashi is kind of explaining. So either way, everyone has to wait for Moshe, right? And the reason is my Roshiva, Zichron Levracha, Yaakov Van Roshiva Nei Yisrael, explains so well. Because Torah is infinite, and it's also a bris olam. It's a eternal covenant. You can't make a bris olam, a eternal covenant, or give infinite wisdom to an individual. The individual who's here today and gone tomorrow, you can't make a bris olam with. He's only here temporarily, right? And also on another side of it, you know, no individual is big enough to hold Torah, which is divine wisdom. Only a nation is a receptacle big enough. So we had to wait for a nation to arise, you know, which was Yetzias Mitzrayim. A nation arose, and a nation could get Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is only going to come when there's a nation. But nations arose way before the Jewish people, you know, came out of Mitzrayim. Right? Why these nations of B'nai Noach, but they didn't get the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is intended to give the Torah to a nation, but a nation that's Bnei Avram, not Bnei Noach. Now, why is that? So, you know, what is it about Noach? You know, that, you know, he survived the Mabul, but he doesn't get Schar Kulam. But you can understand now why Avram is Schar Kulam, that all those 20 generations existed for the sake of Torah, right? And so their whole life mission that they failed to do, Avram did. Avram is the tachlis of those 20 generations. What came out of all those 20 generations? Avram Avinu. So that's what's called Kibel Schar Kulam. They were all Kedai just for Avram Avinu, or he is their fulfillment. The only thing right of those 20 generations. That's what means Kabel Schar Kulam. Noach is not Mekabel Schar Kulam. He just survives the Mabul, because the Bnei Noach do not warrant the Torah. They don't merit it. They don't get it. And why is that? What is the difference between Bnei Noach, which includes Noach, big tzaddik, Shem and Aver, and they had a base medrash, they had a yeshiva, and their Judaism, the Jewish religion, and the Jewish nation does not start from them. Right? It starts from Avraham Avinu. What's the difference? And that's what Rashi is bothered by. Noach, who gets a covenant that Hashem won't destroy the world again, which we see now, that really means that covenant was not made for Noach's own sake. It was made for the sake of the Jewish people, for Moshe Rabbeinu, who eventually arises, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to bring the Torah to the Jewish people and no one else. So Noach is just a stepping stone. What is Noach's stepping stone, and what about Avraham Avinu, you know, precedents that there's a different type of nation in the making that will merit to have a Moshe Rabbeinu bring them the Torah? And that's what needs to be clarified, why Noach did not make the grade to be the first Jew, right? And that, you know, nations that arise from him could already get the Torah. No, it has to be Dafka, a nation that arises from Avraham Avinu. That's the real question over here. So Noach survives the flood, which was major climate change. See, it happens, right? But of course, what causes the climate change is Kiishchis Kobasar Darkal Oretz. It has nothing to do with burgers and plastic straws, right? It was promiscuity. It's amazing. The experts on climate change who are alarmed by it really know what they're talking about, because the other part of their agenda, you know, and their political platforms is to promote the type of behavior that brings the Mabul, that brings that climate change, the promiscuity, the Ishris Kobasar Darko, and the Gezel, you know, taxing the heck out of you, taking away your gun and your plastic straw and taxing you to give it away to, redistributing your wealth. They call it wealth redistribution. It's Gezel. Right? So they're big experts on climate change because they know what really brings it, and that's they're working towards bringing it. You know, a famous politician, you know, who's running for a major office somewhere in the world, said, you know, as long as I'm eating burgers and drinking out of plastic straws, I'm part of the problem. He's half right. He is part of the problem, right? But it's not because of the burgers and the plastic straws that, you know, he uses. It's for other things that he does, right, that brought the Mabul in the first place. Yeah. So Noach, you know, the Bnei Noach, you know, are they originally, you know, were very, very stringent about avoiding ever bringing a Mabul again to the world. They were very moral people, and they took on restrictions against promiscuity. They made siyogim even. And that's the terrible thing that Bilam did. What Bilam did was that, you know, when he getting advising promiscuity to Balak, you know, and Bnos Midyon, so Chazal say, he undid, you know, all the siyogim that the Bnei Noach were makazah, that not only did they take on all their seven mitzvahs, which outlaw the behavior that could bring the Mabul, but they even made further safeguards, and Bilam eroded everything. But that's all they wanted to do. They wanted to, you know, have a red line that they don't go beneath, right? And Shem and Aver, as the Rambam points out in a few places, Shem and Aver, big tzaddikim, big intellectuals, they didn't go out preaching. They wanted to maintain the status quo. Like the word Noach means, you know, that there's a alleviation of the stress, right? They didn't want to stress things out, so they kept things at an equilibrium. There's not the negative stress that causes destruction, but it wasn't the positive stress of moving things in a higher direction either, right? So the Bnei Noach, the good ones that keep all the Sheva mitzvahs, stabilize the world, which includes no Gezel, no Hishchis Kol Basar Dar Kol HaOretz, right? And by the way, their protecting the environment was purely their moral behavior. It wasn't that they abstained from meat. Meat eating began with the Bnei Noach. Before, and everyone was vegetarian. It's just the other way around. When everyone was vegetarian, there was a mabul. After the mabul, right, where there's the bris of the rainbow, which meant something else than what it means today, right? They're using it for the opposite, right? When the the Bnei Noach started eating meat. It's not what, you know. So, you know, being vegetarian is not what's going to save the planet. It's, you know, moral behavior. Right? But they wanted to keep the equilibrium. The world is not going to go beneath the red line, but they weren't willing to change things. And that's where, you know, the idea of Matan Torah is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah to change the world. It's, he gave us that power to rock things up, right? Not just to leave things at an equilibrium, but to move. And that's why the Yetzirah hates the Jewish people even more than the Goyim. And that's why everyone hates the Jews, because we're upsetting the equilibrium. Because we're taught in physics, for every action, there's a reaction. Now, the Jews are upsetting the cosmic equilibrium, right? Because we want to make the world a better place. That's why the Ribono Shel Olam gave us the Torah. That's why the very first mitzvah we got as a nation is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. HaChodesh, the Medrash says, B'lashon Chidosh, change the world. Bring a newness to the world. Bring new spiritual energy. And it starts with Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu doesn't want to go with the status quo. And there's such a thing as, Maral explains, spiritual status quo. So Noach went with Hashem. He went with Hashem. Right, meaning he kept the status quo, and he also kept the spiritual status quo. To the extent that he felt divine energy, he stuck with it. He never ran ahead. Avraham Avinu runs ahead. He doesn't keep the status quo. That's right. So if there's a certain amount of spiritual energy in the world, he doesn't stay with it. He runs ahead of it. He wants to force new divine energy to come in. And he went and he upset the status quo by going out and preaching. Shame and ever didn't preach. Anyone who wants to hear, come to us. We're not shaking things up. Aravino went and debated and shook things up and shook up the establishment, shook up the mainstream media, right? Shook up the whole political and scientific establishment of his day, right? And that's why. And he did it even though there was no spiritual energy pouring on him at the time. He did it even though it wasn't the spiritual status quo. He was breaking the status quo, even the spiritual status quo. He wanted to run ahead, you know, even beyond the amount of spiritual energy that was clinging to the world at the time, to force new revelations to come. And that's our mission as the Jewish people, right? To make climate change, right? But political and moral and ethical climate change, to go up against the establishment and rock things up. So Avraham Ivri, the whole world is on one side, he's on the other side. That's our mission. And that's the secret. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us through the weather. Right? Ain Peronius Ba L'Olam El Bishvil Yisrael. You know, any type of calamity that comes to the world comes because of Klal Yisrael. Now, what does that mean? So Rashi says, as Musar, you know, that if we see a flood, you know, a hurricane, you know, we're supposed to take out of it, you know, Musar, that, oh man, you know, we got to get going, and we have to do our job even more of promoting the Torah values and upsetting the norms of society. Right? And a nation that's willing to do that out of love of God, run ahead against the status quo, even against the spiritual status quo, you know, not to go with the Shekhinah, but to run ahead, to force new revelations to come in. Right? That's the type of nation that Hashem says, that's the type of nation, that he is the father of the nation that I'm going to give the Torah to. And he is the Tachlis. And that also means that until Am Yisrael got the Torah, the world wasn't be'etzem ro'ui, you know, to be better than the generation of the flood. And that's the secret. Moshe Rabbeinu was in a teva. Moshe Rabbeinu was in an ark, right? And the finale of Mitzrayim, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that they all get drowned. Another marble, mini, you know. They say that, you know, the world wasn't really, really categorically better and worthy to be beyond the mabul until Moshe Rabbeinu comes and gives the Torah to Am Yisrael. And Am Yisrael is worthy to be that nation, the receptacle of Torah, because we're willing to shake things up and change things, go against the mainstream, right, and force the world, right, make change to force the world to attain a higher spiritual plane and perfection.